If you wanna ride high, they'll show you the road. Two swell guys to help shoulder the load. On the way, helping a ride on the way, highway.
It's time for the Way Highway on Adobe Radio. Brought to you by Nice Guy Digital and Dr. God Productions, with your hosts, Justin Ware and Sean Cowig.
Hell
yeah!
Yay! Well!
We got very excited at the top there. Welcome to the Way Highway, Lean and Green radio show exploring the wild and wonderful world of weed, hosted by two THC aficionados.
Yes!
Me, Justin Ware.
And me, Sean Cowhig. Want to know more about us and the show?
Sure.
Well, do it.
Great.
Cyberstalk us right now on the information superhighway at thewayhighway on twitter.com, at wayhighway on Instagram.
Visit our website at www.thewayhighway.com. That's you can write us at wayhighway@adobe.com. You can send us an email. Send us an email. Recipes.
Yeah.
You know, we do cook things in Munchie Review sometimes.
Yeah. What do you munch on when you're munchied out?
What do I munch on?
Yeah, what do
you know,
munch?
It's funny you ask that. We've never actually talked about that.
Oh,
you'd think I would have, but I actually now prefer to smoke before cooking dinner.
Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah.
Because then I'm not eating a bunch of crap after dinner.
Right.
And I do unequivocally get munchies.
Yeah,
like
sure.
I the first thing I want to do after I smoke, especially if it's THC and not like a hybrid or CBD, I 100% want to eat. So if I have already eaten dinner, I'm going to be like a hobbit and have 11 Z's.
Yeah.
You know, except at 11 at night.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just cook dinner. And then also, you know, you're giving yourself a bunch of labor to do, which is, in my opinion, kind of enjoyable sometimes. Yep. Winners don't.
Yep. Have we talked about? I've been mostly vegetarian because sometimes I eat fish, and if it's a special occasion,
you're vegetarian-ish.
I'm vegetarian-ish. No, it's just on Thanksgiving I had turkey, and then on Christmas I had ham. But
so you're a non-holiday vegetarian.
Yeah. If it's not a holiday, I'm probably not going to eat meat at all. But Taco Bell. I can replace the beef with potatoes. So I have cheesy gordita crunches with potatoes in it, and they're awesome.
Okay, duly noted. I mean, I'm not a vegetarian,
right.
But if I decide, but you know, when I go to a place like Taco Bell, yeah. I'm always like, I should just not order meat here.
Yeah.
So I think that's actually a good solution for a place like that.
It's not a bad idea.
Because, you know, I try to eat, you know, good stuff, high quality, organic, not the kind of stuff they do at Taco Bell.
No, sure.
Probably, yeah.
Do you buy organic vegetables and fruits, though?
I do.
Really?
I do.
You spend the extra money on it just to get after it.
I do. I get after it, man.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I get that, but I don't do it.
And honestly, it's not so much the healthy component of it, although it's hard. They taste better.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, certain things like iceberg lettuce.
Right, yeah,
kind of is, you know, equivalent, but things like, you know, tomatoes or I mean fruit things like that. Yeah, I am pro organic, even though it was a question about organic food that caused me to lose on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh no!
Yeah, when I was on that show,
dude.
Rough.
I'm sorry to bring it up.
That's okay. I feel like I don't know if that's something we've talked about before on the show or not.
So.
But I pulled the audience, and the audience got it wrong.
That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen, and as a matter of fact, Regis Philbin, who I spent lots of quality time with, because I was on two different episodes, because I got on at the end of one and another, told me that below like $100,000, if the audience gets it wrong, it's a fuck up.
Wow.
Regis did not say fuck up.
Right.
Actually, he might have. He was a little profane.
Right? Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Well, like, all right. The fuck.
Ah, fuck.
That's a terrible Regis Philbin impersonation.
Well, you know.
Hey, this is very exciting. We have a fantastic guest coming up after the break. Mayotta Walsh is going to be joining us, and we're going to talk about something.
Yeah.
Something fun. But this is the first time This is the completion of a Way Highway two-parter. And Sean, you might want to explain in the context of our product review.
Yes. I will tell you as soon as I hear the loving sound of the bong. If you listened last week, we're doing a twofer, so we're recording two episodes in a row, friends. And last week we went on Weed Maps, and we ordered from Whisper Weeds.
And a week later, it's still not here.
And we've been sitting in the studio for a week. No, we're still waiting for the delivery. There's some traffic out there. Listen, it's Los Angeles. It's a Friday night. It was like 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. That's probably their rush hour.
Yeah.
Friday night. Like, yeah.
You know, I'm sure I wasn't doing any favors. But we're waiting for some CBD gummies and a Ratio disposable pen to show up. And when I get here, I'll run out. I'll get it. It's going to be super fun, and then we'll figure out what specifically it is and talk about it. The reasons I say what specifically is because, you know, sometimes a dispensary runs out of stuff, so I would just ask for a 3-to-1 or a 4-to-1 ratio pen and CBD gummies, so we'll talk about exactly brands and flavors whenever that is, and it should be soon.
Did you ever do a delivery job?
No, but I drove Lyft, so I was delivering people to where they needed to go.
It's funny because like I never did a job where I had to go to houses and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's funny I've talked to people who've done that. And we're gonna have a weed delivery person on in a couple episodes.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So we can talk about this. This is a teaser.
Yes.
For when we have Ken on. But yeah, you know, I'm like, God, when you deliver weed, people must want to smoke with you all the time.
Well, that's the way it was, right? Back in the day of the like drug dealer. Like, do you get high? Like, does the dude come in? I feel like Pineapple Express was all about wanting.
But
except
there was the reverse, because the drug dealer wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because back in, you know, one of the great underappreciated components of legalization is removing the weirdo drug dealer from your life.
Yep.
Sometimes they're perfectly nice people, right? Sometimes they're pleasant people. Sometimes they're very, very strange.
Yeah.
And I have been in a situation where a guy wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
And it's very odd.
I got very close with a guy in Boston, so close that I moved to LA, went back to Boston for a wedding, and people knew that I knew a drug dealer. So they had me call him, and I brought a drug dealer to a wedding, and all hell broke loose. It was a bad scene. Karen's looking at me like I'm crazy. No, just because of like the drugs in the wedding and the fact that the groom got involved, and the bride got very, very upset because the groom had us go to the bridal suite, which was a bad idea. Like, we should have gone.
That is a bad idea.
It's
that's
like,
not where
doing,
you should
right?
go. You need to go somewhere different.
No, but nobody had the sense.
Yeah,
to, like,
I mean,
famous.
I have a lot of, you know, of friends who partake in various things. And after my own wedding, there was we had like this guy come to the house or whatever, and that was a scenario like that. I always had a couple of friends at this house that we'd rented, this beautiful house.
Yeah,
you saw it.
I was there.
Yeah, in Malibu.
I was in a hot tub in the back of a.
Yeah, yeah, it was gorgeous.
Yeah,
it was but like, and we had it for the whole week.
Yeah.
So like by the end of the week, we had friends over. You know, like at later, and a guy came by. You know, and a dealer and a guy we'd known for years, and you know, the key is you can't even accidentally extend an invitation because we're like, because the minute you're like, hey, you know, hang out or do whatever, you know, then like they run with it.
Right.
And he started grilling steaks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which was super weird because it was not our steaks. He had steaks.
What?
I don't know if he'd stopped at the store.
What?
I don't know what had happened there, but like he wanted to be a chef and he was actually a pretty good cook. And he, I don't know if he'd stopped the store, if he's had him in a cooler in his car or whatever, But he was like, hey, are you guys hungry? And, you know, of course.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, I guess we're kind of hungry. And, but I thought he, you know, I don't know what I thought he was going to do. But he came back and he got out the grill.
Oh,
and he started just grilling all of these steaks.
That's a lot.
And it was kind of like cool, but yeah. Also like we didn't know him that well. And,
right.
And it was like there was like five of us and we were super close with each other. We're like, right. What
do we do?
Because that's a time commitment. You got to light the grill.
Yeah.
You got to grill the steaks. It's like, you know, you're in for a while then if someone commits.
Steaks.
And you can't kick someone out halfway through a steak grilling.
Right. And don't you almost feel like if there are a couple left over and you wrapped them up and put them in the fridge, then his property, like, remains on the property.
Maybe.
And now he almost has, like, well, I guess I'll stay till the steaks are gone.
Right.
And
it's like squatter's rights.
It's squatter's rights, man. Those are steaks, man.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was weird. We just had to just go along for the ride, kind of.
Yeah.
And then finally just eat the steak. And, you know, if there had been more vegetarian-ish people there, we could have been like, no, man, we're not meat eaters.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Should we hit up the listeners with a little warning?
A little public service announcement?
Let's
fire
to
up
help
little,
you out.
The dangers of the Way Highway, a little public service announcement from the Way Highway.
Mm-hmm.
It's yours?
No,
I... Your mother said she found it in your closet.
I don't know. One of the guys must have...
Must have what?
Look, Dad, it's
Where
not...
Where did you get it?
Dad,
answer me. Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
Parents who use drugs have children who use drugs.
Yeah. Right? See, that dad was a drug dealer, and he overstayed his welcome so much that he married a person and had a child.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I never thought of the backstory.
Yeah. Yep. That's what's up, man.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were...
Be careful. Be careful.
These old PSAs are very... they're very focused around, like... Your life situation will be locked in forever if you.
There's no way to change now.
There's no way to change.
You're a druggie now. Now you'll be stoned forever.
Maybe the people at dispensaries and a lot of the dealers and stuff. I mean, maybe they are actually weirdos too. It's just you don't when they're not in your house that they feel less weird.
Yeah, maybe.
They seem more normal.
No,
like if you go to dispensaries, they're pretty decent.
Yeah, because now it's a service job. And they're being trained by somebody, like it's a brand.
Right.
It's not like, you know, someone who knew somebody who bought like a pound and separated it into baggies and then
just did that for like 2 months.
Right.
Yeah. And I guess also like now there's a lot of competition. I mean, certainly in Los Angeles, you know, if you go into a dispensary and people are a dick, there's another one like 14 feet.
Right.
Down the street.
And like the thing about the, you know, our product review, it started with Weed Maps. It started with a phone app where you can rate these things. Like I can go, I can look and see that there are two in a block radius or a few block radius.
Yeah.
And then make an educated decision based on reviews. If you don't get good reviews, I don't have to go there.
I will say it will be very funny if in our two-part episode.
Yeah.
And doing this, if this guy just never shows up.
Never shows up.
There's a 10% chance of that.
Sure. But the good news is I didn't pay for anything yet. So
right. But that actually probably increases it.
It would actually stink if he showed up after we left. And we're just like, dude, what the hell? And he's like, cool radio station. And then maybe he just comes in here and records a radio show.
Yeah, maybe he comes
he
in.
He becomes and the next Howard Stern. Who knows?
Oh, man. We'll what an
out.
Origin story. So, yeah, the door was open. It was crazy. We're going to take a break.
Yes.
And we're going to come back with a wonderful guest that we're very excited to chat with, Maiara Walsh. And so we're going to leave you with Bury a Friend by Billie Eilish, and we'll be right back. Yes. And we are back on
Welcome
the Way
back.
Highway. Welcome back.
It's the Way Highway.
We're still waiting. It's been a week and a half an hour now.
It's been, we've been in this studio famished.
Yeah. You know, it is funny. I mean, we should say that delivery, weed delivery, as Sean pointed out. It's not like a pizza.
It's not like a pizza.
These people are running around. It's not going to get cold.
Yes.
But yes, hopefully it will show up. Probably it'll probably right as we start talking with Mayada, it'll show up. Our guest is I apologize for using this word, a hyphenate, multi-talented, quadruple, quintuple, whatever, threat.
Lots of threats.
You like one of those like guns in the video game that can shift through a bunch of different things.
Yes.
Mayada Walsh is joining us today.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
We're very excited to have you. Thank you for coming on.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah.
I love that we get to just hang out on Friday night.
I know. We try to do, you know, for this is going to be airing on a during the day, but we should say that we normally try to do at night because then people feel like they can, you know, not have to get up for work in the morning. It's Friday night. It's good.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Which is why I had four drinks in front of me.
You're,
all alcoholic.
You're quadruple fisting.
I'm down to three. I guess it's the hyphenate thing.
Yeah.
Got to have multiple things going at once.
Sure.
Yeah. But you definitely are, but you're dehydrating and hydrating at the same time.
Of course. Always have to have them hand in hand.
That's good.
Yeah. As I always said, and we were talking before about Burning Man, which is a thing that we both have attended. I always used to say they're detox to retox. So that's my modus operandi, because you got to get it out of your system before you can put it back in your system.
This is very true.
Yeah. But you are, you're acting as obviously a large, significant portion, but you also, you're writing and you're doing music and you're doing a whole bunch of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Where do you want me to go from there?
I don't know. Man. Where are you?
Tell us more.
I mean, look, I've been acting since I was 14. It's one of my first loves. Singing is also a first love. Like when I was a 5 or 7 year old girl, I wanted to be a singer and a scientist. And I'm still committed to somehow making both of those things happen.
That's a tough needle to thread, though.
It is. But something I love doing is taking things that seem very different from each other and finding the common thread.
Right.
And finding how you can make them both work together.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I suppose you could do the Marie Curie musical or, you know.
I was going to say, is there a specific science you're leaning to, like botany, chemistry, earth science?
Yeah, I mean, look, I love neuroscience.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
I love the effect of music on the brain. I study a lot about brain waves, so I think the way I'll incorporate it into music is using different brain waves, like alpha, delta, theta, in my music, and kind of do research on how that affects people as they listen.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever done like the brainwave things where they track your brainwaves when you listen to certain kinds of music?
Like wearing an EEG while you're listening to music?
Yeah.
No, that sounds fantastic.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, I actually, it's weird. I have a guy actually through a Burning Man friend of mine who does a lot of sound stuff, but he does, it's super cool. I will send it to you because you'll actually probably enjoy it. Mm-hmm. He does audio recordings of the burn. And so there's no visual, but he will, and he'll edit it down, but like, it'll be like an hour of just ambient noise, and it sounds like you're biking through the playa, and you're hearing various things, and you hear cars, you hear this. And to me, it's so interesting because the sound is so evocative.
Yeah.
Like, we think of, you know, the visuals and the spectacle, right? But like, the immediacy of sound to activate the brain and create those memories and instantly pull you into places is so powerful.
And I find it fascinating too with that, because someone who perhaps has like never been or would maybe hate hearing all of that noise, while someone else who has specific memories, well, it'll bring them right back to it and they'll be like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that stuff becomes, now every once in a while, well, there was one year I got stuck between two sound camps, and it was nightmare because I could hear both.
That's the
and so when they cross, oh god, that's the worst.
Yeah,
That's like the opposite of what you want to do with brain waves.
Exactly.
It's like a torture device.
Right. I'm not trying to like confuse and muddle everyone's brains.
Right.
That's not the point of it.
Yeah. You don't want to turn it into a torture mechanism.
Exactly.
Yeah. The other audio torture that I experienced out there once was something that you enjoy in real life that you'd never want to be anywhere near is one year we were near a karaoke camp.
Ooh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was so bad.
People feel freedom. They're like, oh, I'm going to finally sing in front of all these people.
Oh, it was so bad.
Like,
and when it's your friends and you're drunk and you're in a bar,
yeah, you're like, great.
It's great. But when you hear someone you don't know massacring, you know, me and Bobby McGee at 3 in the morning, it's horrific.
Yep.
Yeah. That, but you know, again, it's evocative, just in a pretty bad way. but what kind of stuff? I mean, like, do you play out? Do you mainly work studio?
Gosh, my music has changed a lot over the last 10 years. I would say I started off heavily in like jazz and soul, so I had like a 8-piece jazz band that put together.
Wow.
And we would play like Hotel Cafe. And actually, my very first show, I don't know how to do things half-assed.
Yeah.
I like go way too far. So I did an immersive show for my very first show with it was a 30-person production. So I had an entire pre-show. The show was called Dream. It was 1920s vaudeville themed. I wasn't even in the pre-show. People would like walk in. There was a live painter. There were dancers. There were magicians. There was a live trumpet player. There were these Harlequin bartenders who halfway through the pre-show came out and did this coordinated dance and then handed out a deck of cards that I had created with the logo of the show. And
wow, that sounds great.
Wow. Yeah.
I would totally love that show.
Oh, it was
I am
so
your target
much fun.
Demographic oh, for your wow. stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've just realized I am totally your target demographic.
Boom. All right. Great.
Yeah. No, but I love that stuff. I mean, I like it when I go and see a show and I feel like they've thought out the details.
Mm-hmm. And you know? I think the details are super important. I love creating worlds. I love for you to walk into an environment and feel like you have no idea, like you've just entered an entirely new world and mm-hmm. that all of your senses are being played with. And like those are the kind of shows I go to that I leave feeling super inspired. I love feeling involved as a guest and feeling like I'm a part of something. And I think that's why we're seeing more and more immersive shows, especially
yeah,
here in Los Angeles.
It's crazy how much is happening here now.
Yeah. I mean, I just went to an immersive show today. It was like the Billie Eilish experiment, I think it was called. So like for her album, she created an entire immersive experience through a warehouse with like 10 different rooms.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sean,
do you ever hear about the car plays?
No, what's that?
Oh, the car plays were great. So you'd show up and there'd be like, they'd do it in a parking lot and there'd be like 10 cars parked in a line. And so you and whoever you were with would go and then you would get in a car and sometimes you'd both get in the back or one would get in shotgun and one would get in the back or you'd both get in the front and you'd get in and there'd be two other actors in the car. And then they'd do a scene between them and you're in the car with them. And each car you went to was a different scene.
It's incredible.
It was amazing.
I did something in downtown where I think only 4 people could go at a time. Mm. I got into a limo. I was with my friend and 2 other people, and there were like these 2 women dressed in yellow dresses, and they did this entire operatic, weird musical dance show in front of us. Like they were leaning over us and dancing out and like opening the window and dancing out the window. And then we passed by a warehouse and they rolled down the window and there were these 4 trumpet players playing. And then they led us into another warehouse and it was never ending. And I was like, what is happening?
That's rad.
This is so
That's
crazy.
Amazing.
I love that. We did a Dr. God show in a pool this summer.
Yeah.
Which was super weird and
like an
goofy.
Empty pool or a full
no,
pool?
No, someone had a party at their house where they wanted to have comedy in it, which by the way, normally like, I'm like, that sounds terrible. But
weed's here.
Sean's gonna go pick up the weed. But
wait a second, how late are they, by the way?
They're within the window
of
stone delivery.
Okay, there we go.
So these guys had they were like, we want to do comedy on this outdoor stage, but there's a pool right there. And when they asked us if we want to do it, we're like, can we use the pool? Like, yeah, I don't see why not. And we never left the pool. Like we just did like all the scenes we did were like at a Sandals resort or like at whatever. We just did the pool the entire time.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And I'm like, God, I wish there was more, like, there's a lot of artistic stuff that utilizes these spaces, but, like, comedy, for whatever reason, seems to not do that. And I don't really understand, because comedy in an environment like that.
Comedy in a pool.
Yeah, me too. And there's Steve Martin's autobiography. I don't know if you've read it or not, but it's called Born Standing Up. It's really good and really interesting because obviously, you know, before he was like a movie guy, he was one of the biggest stand-ups in the world.
Yeah.
You know, he was one of the first people to play at stadiums and stuff like that. And he tells stories in that he used to do a lot of stuff like that where he would like take the entire audience out of the club to McDonald's. And they would go in and he would order one. He would take in like 40 people from an audience from a club and they would order one thing of fries. And then just pass it around like to
one
the thing.
Like one little thing of fries.
Yeah, like one thing of fries. And then the guy at the counter would be like, that's it? You know, and I'm like, God, like, that's, to me, there's so much life in that, to getting out and like doing that stuff out in the world.
Absolutely.
I feel like there should be more of it.
And again, you're involving your entire audience, and that's a memory that they take on with them.
Yeah.
Versus just like a very passive experience that you go and you see a show and you talk about it after with your friends. Like, I think the more you can involve people, the better the experience for everyone involved.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I mean, obviously that's, you know, in one of the appeals of, you know, of something like Burning Man is that when you create like an environment where there's so much going on, you kind of feel like you're part of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like you're a character in it.
Yeah, because you're all a character in this crazy, ridiculous show.
Yes, exactly.
But Sean is actually getting, I just want to say for our listeners, Sean is actually picking up the weed right now. I can't see. Can you see?
No, I wish I could see what the
man,
person
I want to see. I want to see what this person looks like. Do they look like a weed delivery person? I don't know. I don't know what a weed, but
yeah,
I would
say,
imagine.
What does a weed delivery
I don't know, like James Franco or something, but like James Franco in his like skeezy James Franco,
right.
Skeeziest James Franco.
Oh.
Sean's back. Yay. How'd
hey,
that? You know what? We're going to take a little break because we have
to. It was crazy. The delivery guy was James Franco.
Shut up.
Yeah.
It was Dave Franco.
It was Dave Franco.
So we're going to open this, and we're gonna fire it up, and then we're going to come back. So we'll be right back with Mayotta Walsh. I'll leave you a little Jimi Hendrix all on the Watchtower.
Oh,
all
yeah.
All right. Welcome back to the Way Highway.
Welcome back to the Way Highway.
And Mayotta Walsh is here with us today.
Hi.
Thank you for once again. So, good news, everybody. 1 week and 45 minutes
yes.
later, we got our weed delivery.
And I just made his day by tipping him because he was so apologetic that he was late.
Compact Fred Durst, thank you.
He was a good guy. He was a good guy.
Was he high?
He was probably a little high.
Okay.
I'm sure he was a little high. So we have Camino cannabis infused gummies. These are sparkling pear flavored.
Are those cannabis or CBD?
These are both per serving, 6 milligrams of CBD, 1.8 milligrams of THC.
1.8 milligrams. That's just a kiss of THC.
Yeah, it's just a kiss. Do I know how to do this?
We've had so many gummies here today. This has been a very heavy gummy day.
I'm going to try a sparkling pear. Would you like a sparkling pear?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Sparkling pear? No.
I'm good, thank
Anybody
you.
Sparkling pear? No.
How do they taste?
Delicious.
Do they taste like pear?
They do taste like pear, and the sparkling, they're a little champagne-y.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. Like Pop Rocks?
Oh, man, I wish.
Yeah.
And then we have a Dom Pen. Honey citrus. This is a 4-to-1 CBD to THC. The packaging is pristine.
The packaging on this stuff, like, I don't know, like, if you've ever, you know, participate or not, but the packaging on this stuff, it's basically like apple. And it's like
it's
crazy
totally
how
like
beautiful.
Apple.
Look how pretty this stuff
it's
is
so
now.
So pretty now, right? This is honey citrus flavored.
And how many hits come in one, or like doses or?
A surprising number, because I have a pen like that that I think it, that
wow.
I've been using for like a month. But I don't, I mean, I don't like do it all night. I'll do it for like 3 hits and then I'll be done.
Gotcha.
Hello.
Like how long will that last?
I bet this is
100
hits.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Damn.
So it's, this one is,
this is, sorry, we're slightly hotboxing you, but it's basically CBD. There's barely any THC in here. So. We're hot studioing.
That is tasty.
Yeah.
That is tasty.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, I'm just glad that, so the review of the delivery is not the fastest in the world.
No.
But very nice.
To be expected.
And exactly.
To be expected.
To be expected.
A little on brand.
Yep.
All right. But exactly what we wanted. And
was this the specific ones you ordered?
Both the specific things
in stock?
I ordered. They had the specific things I wanted in stock, and they both work.
And this was just an app you used?
I went to Weed Maps, and then when you use a delivery, so Weed Maps will have the number for the delivery, and then at that point you just get to the number, and you just text. It's text messaging. So I texted
it's
the number.
It's so much more sophisticated than the creepy guy that you used to have to call that would come to your house and not leave and make a steak. We have a game, a couple of things we like to do every week, segments on this show. There's one where we take a deep dive into the kind of topics that you talk about and then end up researching in a Google hole, which is a terrible phrase, called
Things I Learned While High.
Things I Learned While High. And this one I picked specifically for you because you are a an actor and you... are theatrical, and so I was talking with somebody about A Brave New World, and I'd always thought that the phrase came from the Aldous Huxley dystopian novel, but it turns out the phrase is actually coined by Shakespeare and spoken by Miranda in The Tempest. So I went down a total research deep dive hole into other famous phrases and sayings that I had no idea originated in Shakespeare. So we're going to do a special Shakespearean edition of Things Learned While High. And Sean, you can play too, because I know you're a Shakespearean fella.
I have an audition coming up in over a week for King Lear.
Ooh.
Well, good.
I'm auditioning.
Perfect for you, then.
Yes, to play Cordelia.
It's actually funny story, true story, to play Edmund, who Edmund is currently being played on Broadway as we speak by Pedro Pascal from Bloodsucking Bastards.
Our buddy Pedro.
Small world.
So it turns out there's a ton of them. So I decided Way High Way style to turn into a bit of a game.
Okay.
So I'm going to say a phrase, and you're going to guess if it originated in Shakespeare or something else, somewhere else. Wild Goose Chase. Yes.
Whoa.
Spoken by Mercutio in Romeo and Juliet. Nay, if our wits run the wild goose chase, I am done. So, and fun fact, by the way, I also learned that term doesn't actually refer to geese, but rather a kind of horse race called a wild goose chase.
Interesting.
Weird. Coming Full Circle.
No.
Yes.
It is.
What? It comes from King Lear. Spoken by Edmund.
Whoa!
The wheel has come full circle.
And it really has.
Well,
yeah. Pot calling the kettle black.
I think that is.
It does not.
Oh, man.
But the phrase actually originates from Don Quixote by Cervantes. Dio la sartén a la caldera. I'm not going to try to say it in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish.
Well, that's what I meant.
But it comes from Don Quixote, so it has some historical. You reap what you sow. No.
Damn it.
That comes from the Bible. Whatsoever
I was
a man.
Buddhist.
Yes.
So that's
you think the Catholic would have gotten that one.
Congratulations.
I thought the Catholic guy would get that one.
Oh, my God. I didn't say anything.
It's from Galatians 6, which was my favorite Sega Genesis game.
I love Galatians. Galatians. Love them.
Give the devil his due.
That's from Webster's. No, yes.
You almost did the devil and Daniel Webster there, which is a real literary thing. Wow. So maybe you were kind of, but it's not from
that. It's
not. And it's not from Charlie Daniels' band, Give the Devil His Due, but if it'll gold against your soul, it gets it, I'm better than you. But it is from Shakespeare, Henry IV, Part 1, Give the Devil His Due. I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Definitely Shakespeare.
Yes, correct. That is from Coriolanus. I didn't actually write down the Coriolanus joke, but that was a pretty good tie-in.
Oh, my God.
A Sight for Sore Eyes.
Yes.
No.
God.
Jonathan Swift, author of Gulliver's Travels.
Oh, boy.
Break the Ice.
I mean, I'm leaving that in your court.
No.
Yes, it is.
What?
Break the Ice is from The Taming of the Shrew.
Oh.
Tranio encourages Petruchio to break the ice with Catherine and get to know her. Love is Blind.
It is.
Sort of. It actually first appears in Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales, but it was popularized in The Merchant of Venice. Yeah. So even phrases he didn't coin, he's still partially responsible for. And finally, as we will say to this bit, and our last one, good riddance.
Yes.
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 It is from Troilus and Cressida.
It's also amazing how many of these terms we still use.
It's
today
crazy. And by the way, I could have done like 20 more of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Some of them I was pretty amazing, like coming full circle and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. But yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I haven't gotten to that part of King Lear yet.
Oh, jeez.
I can't wait.
Does anyone know how many works, how many pieces Shakespeare has actually written? Like,
depends what you count. There's like 30,
like all of it. Yeah.
Well, there's what, 32 plays, yeah. But there's some authorship questions on some of them.
Right.
But and then there's
the sonnets.
Sonnets, like 100 sonnets or something. But it's actually not that much.
Then like
but
it's his like his diary, and then his like book of facts,
his almanac. Then there's the Twilight Saga.
Yeah, yep.
Shakespeare's Twilight Saga.
Shakespeare's Twilight.
Wait, what is his diary like?
There's no diary.
I was like, what?
There's no diary.
When does he have a diary that I haven't read?
I feel like if there was a diary, then the whole like Shakespeare authorship question would be much probably not debated. It's in the diary. He talks about
diary,
writing
man.
Hamlet.
It would basically be Shakespeare in Love. It would be like him having an experience that leads to another play.
Right. Well, Shakespeare in Love was all from
his diary. Do you think he would write
diary
in his Shakespearean prose, like in his language?
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, the sonnets are kind of like his diary. They're like love poems to his, you know, maybe male lovers.
Ooh.
But anyway, that was Things I Learned By. And I found about 20 more of these. I'm like, I could do this forever. Yeah. But Sean also has things that he likes to do in this last segment. Sean's got his fun little segment we're going to play.
So we're going to play a little game called Way or No Way.
No way.
So I've just got a list of things, and I'm going to just
blow my mind.
Shoot them at you.
Okay.
And you just say way or no way. And way if, like, yeah, you're totally into it. No way if, like,
ooh,
you're not.
Love
like,
it.
No. And then
what if you're somewhere in between?
Then, like, well, it's a free
then just
form.
Equivocate.
Like, equivocate that. We'll figure it out by the way you say way or no way.
So
and then if we have to talk about something as we go, we'll talk about it. So here we go. Hemp hydration.
What?
Yeah. Herbed perfume oil.
Way.
Yeah, bath bombs.
Way.
THC bath bombs.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah, no, right? We'll talk about that. Kush high volume mascara.
No way.
No way. CBD lip balm.
Way.
Okay, overalls.
Way.
Cute overalls.
Yeah.
No, okay. It'd be weird if you said no way to that one.
No way.
No way.
Joggers.
What?
Depends on
the people?
The people
or is that like a clothing thing?
Sweatpants that have they're tight at the bottom, so they're joggers.
Oh, is that what joggers?
That's what
are?
Joggers are sweatpants.
I thought you just meant like.
I was gonna say no way because I didn't even know that's what they were called.
Right? Yeah, no, that's what those sweatpants are called. Oh. Now they're fashionable. I never thought
and
I'd be into them.
They don't
I
even
have, like,
wear them when
pairs.
They're like working out. People just wear them on the street.
You can wear them anywhere. You can wear them out to a club. It's LA.
So way or no way?
I probably own a pair
way
of those.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Jumpers.
Nah.
Rompers.
Sometimes.
Romp hymns.
Is that a thing?
Romp hymn is a romper for a guy. Oh,
way.
My God.
Way.
No
way.
Put
him
in it.
So
put him in it. Oh, God. Imagine.
Nothing like a guy in a good romper.
You know what?
A he romper.
Get him in it so then you know what it's like to have to take off your entire outfit to pee, bro.
Well, they wear a jumpsuit.
Backpacking through Europe.
Way.
Backpacks.
Way.
Rucksacks.
Way.
Oh, yeah. Oversized purses.
No way.
No way. Not going to do it. Fanny packs.
Way.
Fanny packs are in again, though.
Fanny packs are totally in again.
I'm all about being hands-free.
Yeah.
Flood pants.
What are flood pants?
Flood pants are like culottes, but maybe they don't call them that anymore.
I don't even know what culottes are.
Just like really high.
Pants are like three-quarter pants. Like
like really like high, like the pants come to like here.
No way.
Oh, like and back in the day, it would be like, and you'd have them up here, and that would be Shakespearean, and you'd have tights underneath, and they'd have buttons on them.
There we go. Way.
Yeah, sure. Shakespearean garb.
The Shakespearean garb will do it. Corsets.
No way.
Nope. Bustles.
No way.
Nope. Pants suits.
Way.
Okay.
All about the pantsuit.
Fingernail art. right? Yeah. It seems like a real pain. Has anybody ever, have you done that where you got like a big, because like I'm looking, like I look at things and then there are people that like, there's like big, like actual, like deep, like.
If you have like the stuff you have to do.
It's like a big thing and like stick it, like putting a decal on something.
Yeah, I mean, I just use my hands too much. I feel like it would rip off 1 hour after I got it and then I would just be irritated.
You don't want to ruin your art.
I ruined it, exactly.
Why would I do that? Infinity pools.
Way.
Above ground pools.
Way. I love pools.
All right. Yeah. The pool at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood.
Depends.
It's my favorite pool.
Who your company is.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. They used to have the best parties there.
Oh, I have such an inappropriate story from that pool.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Anyway.
Drinking.
Way.
Drinking bong water.
Way. Yum, yum, yum.
Have you ever tried that?
Drink it up.
Oh, man. Ever done it by accident?
Oh, yes. God, have you? Oh,
and by God, accident, totally. Yes.
I'm sorry,
have
you just grab a bong and, like, accidentally drink
no,
it?
No, no, no. When you inhale and you end up getting
sick. Yeah, after that gets full up too much or, like, anything.
That has happened to me. It's not super disgusting.
Not bong water, but, there were, like, I used to do stupid things when I would drink. I don't know why I'm equating this to bong water, where, like, I'd have bottles of beer and I'd have the bottle of beer I'm drinking in between these fingers and the bottle of beer that I'm going to drink next in between these fingers.
Wait,
and then, yeah, so I'm like holding two bottles of beer with one hand.
It's
so
called,
like, yeah.
It's called twinking, one, right? Because they're twin beers.
Right? Really. But then, without thinking about it, I just go to take a sip from the front one and spill the back.
Yeah, wait,
one
what is the
eyes.
Point of even doing
that? I was an idiot.
Okay.
That
it.
Was the point of the whole
Perfect.
Thing.
Perfect.
That was the point of the whole entire thing. High heels.
No way.
No way. Platforms.
Maybe at Burning Man.
Okay. Platforms with fish tanks in the heels.
Not good for the fish.
Did
no
anybody
way.
Ever have those?
Pimps in movies.
Oh, man. Okay. Is there anything that we need to go back over, or did we get this done?
I feel like we got it.
Yeah.
Perfect. That was
Do you have overalls?
Episode of Way or...
No way.
Do you have overalls?
I have these weird romper overalls that I got from Barcelona that I love because they're so hideous.
Yeah. So are they shorts?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember Oshkosh Bagosh?
Sure. I mean, I'm from Wisconsin, man.
That was a big thing.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, Oshkosh is in Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know where Bagosh
man,
is.
Where is Bagosh?
Bagosh is in all of us. No, I mean, yeah, overalls had their, you know. They had their day, right?
They had their day.
They had
come
so
back.
Many days.
I know. It's weird.
They've
They're
had
so...
years.
But I do love it when you watch 80s movies and like they have like acid wash overalls.
Uh huh. Oh, that, man.
That's,
those
that's
are
a look.
I think you guys should wear overalls for your next show.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I'll do it.
I would wear overalls with underoos.
Now, do you have any opinions on the overall
underoos
straps?
Are back?
Like,
by
do
the way.
I look like a one strap?
For sure.
So I've got one strap.
You're a but two strap. You're
a two strap.
One strap.
I'm a one strap.
I'm not sure Absolutely. How I feel about that. But is it like backpacks where like it's now like two strap is cool again and like yeah. with like the one strap era is over?
Can you guys also wear fanny packs with your overalls?
Oh man.
I'm not joking about fanny packs being back. By the way,
I own a fanny pack.
And they are now, they're super, like, they're all these decorated ones. They're, like, super shiny. They're everywhere.
I have a fanny pack, and in the most, I'm from Massachusetts, and in the most, like, outside of Boston way ever, I'm home. I've got a fanny pack. I'm in a Target, and this, like, I don't know, 15-year-old redhead is, like, eyeing the fanny pack just slanted. Like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, it's a fanny pack. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, they're on their way back. They're coming back. She's like, yeah. I don't know about with them many pockets, though, because it, like, had a lot of stuff
oh,
all over
it. Oh, it was the
it.
Specific
yeah.
panty.
Yeah, wow. It was my fanny pack. And I'm like, oh, well, no, see, like, I'm from here, but I live in L.A. now. So, like, this is one of those that, like, if you were on set, you could have, like, all your different things that you used for, like, a movie set. And she goes, is that the thing you say to try to pick up chicks? And I was like, oh,
Whoa.
My God.
That's amazing. So, I also love the fact that you were defending your fanny pack.
I know.
Yeah, totally defending my fanny pack.
Like, I would have been like, you know what? This is my colostomy bag from when I got stabbed by my father.
Oh, my God.
She just starts crying.
She would have, no, the Boston youth, she would have been like, who fucking cares, guy?
Who fucking cares? Who fucking cares?
Who hasn't
been stabbed by their father in Boston?
My father stabs me every day. What are you fucking colostomy bag?
Colostomy bastard.
Suck it up. That's what I say.
they're getting much shinier though now. They're very, yeah. But you know, I got to admit, like as a guy, I have always been a little jealous of purses. See, I really like, especially now that we have phones, we have all that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. just when you're a guy, your coat, your pockets get too full of crap.
Totally.
See, car keys.
I've never been a purse person. I actually can't stand carrying purses, but I love backpacks.
Yeah.
You'll always see me with a backpack. Again,
me too. I love them.
Hands free. You're balanced on the shoulders. Nothing in the pockets.
I was as happy as anyone when backpacks return to being balanced because the like one shoulder backpack thing. I'm like, that is, it's not good for you, for your spine. I do yoga, guys, and I don't want to mess it up.
When I was in when I was in college, I definitely got a rolling backpack, and I loved going across campus with my rolling backpack.
That's
and
so cool.
Everyone would look at me like, "What are you doing?"
I think that's great. You know what? I'm all for efficiency.
Yeah,
life is short. Make it a little easier to get through quickly.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of getting through things.
Oh, man.
That's all the time we have.
Wow. It went so fast.
It went so fast. I know. Well, you're welcome back anytime because I feel like we barely scratched the surface of conversation.
And I had
topics.
To leave to go get a delivery of cannabis products. Gosh.
Oh,
so
what?
We'll have to do it again. It'll be like a three-part series.
Yeah, it'll be a three-part series. and maybe and we'll call the same guys next time and be like, look, we need to deliver.
Well, we'll have Ken. We'll call Speedweed and see what happens.
That's true. We have a Speedweed guest in a couple weeks.
We'll do a race.
Yeah. Love oh, it. There you go. Yeah, the cannonball run of weed.
Cannabis ball.
The cannabis ball run. that's it for us.
Yeah.
Thanks, folks.
That's uh-oh. Okay. Well, that's the end of the podcast.
Karen.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. Remember, as legalization sweeps the country, a lot of Americans, especially poor ones, still locked up for dealing, possessing, or even smoking marijuana. So don't just legalize it. Deschedule it. Support clemency. Get nonviolent drug offenders out of jail. And that is it. Thank you for listening to The Way Highway live on Adobe.com or on the free Adobe app or subscribing on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts by speed delivery. If you like what you heard, tell everyone you know and follow us on Twitter at The Way Highway, Instagram at Way Highway. You can also find Sean at Sean Cowig, me at Justin_Ware, Dr. God at Dr. God Comedy. And Mayata, you're on the Instagrams.
I'm on the Instagrams. Yep.
Look up Mayata on there and follow her and see beautiful locales and fabulous places that you seem to go to. Sending a shout out to our composer Gregory Jengen for all these great tunes. And most of all, thank you for listening.
Hey, and remember, guys, if you want to ride high, always take the Way Highway. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.